जय गोपी जन वल्लभा जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे जय पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व पंचतत्व जय पंचतत्व जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंह जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंह प्रह्लाद नरसिंह जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंह जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय गुरुदेव 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 शिवप्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय श्रीराधमाधवाष्टसखीवृंद की जय श्री श्री पंचतत्व की जय प्रह्लाद नरसिंहदेव की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय हिताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 21 टेक्स्ट 29 to 32 सो आई जस्ट रीड थ्रू द टेक्स्ट फ्रॉम 29 ओके लेट्स जस्ट 32 प्रतिश्रुतम् अदास्तुते निरये वास इष्यते विषत्वं निरयं तस्मान् गुरुणा चानुमोदित प्रतिश्रुतम् अदास्तुते निरये वास इष्यते विषत्वं निरयं तस्मा गुरुणा चानुमोदिता प्रतिश्रुतं अदास्तु ते निरये वास इष्यते विषत्वं निरयं तस्माद् गुरुणा चानुमोदिता गुरुणा चानुमोदिता प्रतिश्रुतं अदास्तु ते निरये वासयिष्यते प्रतिश्रुतं शत्वं निरयं दस्माद् गुरुणा चानुमोदिता. Okay, I'll just read the translations from verse 29 to 32. Text 29. O king of the demons, you have promised to give me 3 steps of land, but I have occupied the entire universe with 2 steps. Now, think about where I should put my 3rd step. Text 30. As far as the sun and moon shine with the stars, and as far as the clouds pour rain, all the land throughout the universe is in your possession. Text 31. Of these possessions, with 1 step I have occupied Bhurloka, and with my body I have occupied the entire sky and all directions. And in your presence, with my 2nd step, I have occupied the upper planetary system. Purport. According to the Vedic description of the planetary system, all the planets move from east to west. The sun, the moon, and 5 other planets, such as Mars and Jupiter, orbit one above another. Vamandev, however, expanding his body and extending his steps, occupied the entire planetary system. Text 32, word by word. Pratishrutam, what had been promised. Adatuhu, who could not give. Te, of you. Niraye, in hell. Vasaha, residence. Ishyate, prescribed. Visha, now. Enter. Tvam, yourself. Nirayam, the hellish planet. Tasmat, therefore. Guruna, by your spiritual master. Cha, also. Anumoditaha, approved. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Because you have been unable to give charity according to your promise, The rule is that you should go down to live in the hellish planets. Therefore, in accordance with the order of Shukracharya, your spiritual master, now go down and live there. Purport. It is said, Narayana para sarve na kutashchana bibhyati swarga apavarga nirakeshu api tulyartha darshina. Devotees solely engage in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.17.28. A devotee engaged in the service of Narayana is always equilibrium. A devotee actually lives transcendentally. Although he may appear to have gone to hell or heaven, he does not live in either place. Rather, he always lives in Vaikuntha. Sagunan samati taitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Vamandev asked Bali Maharaj to go to the hellish planets, apparently just to show the entire universe how tolerant he was. And Bali Maharaj did not hesitate to carry out the order. A devotee does not live alone. Of course, everyone lives with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But because the devotee is engaged in service, he actually does not live in any material condition. Bhaktivinod Thakur says, Kita janma hoya yatha tu yadas. Thus he prays to take birth as an insignificant insect in the association of devotees. Because devotees are engaged in the service of the Lord, anyone who lives with them also lives in Vaikuntha. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshorun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guran Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Welcome all the devotees and request their blessings to be able to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. From this purport, I was able to come up with three different points that I would like to speak about. Sri Prabhupada, in the beginning, he mentions that devotees are not afraid of any situation, any place, anywhere, because they are always protected by the Lord. For them, you throw them in hell, they are okay. You put them in the heavenly planets, they are okay. If they get liberated, they are okay. Sri Prabhupada, he mentions that for those devotees who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, they are always living in the... They are considered as the places of pilgrimage, since they are always in the association of the Lord. Therefore, when we go out to some holy places, it's not to take bath in the river, to go around taking darshan. That's there. But the main thing is to associate with different Vaishnavas who are over there serving the holy dham. Because the association of Vaishnavas is considered as the topmost service. When we are in the association of devotees, it's difficult for the mind to wander about and think about some nonsense, do some nonsense. And when a devotee is walking by, we see, and it says, a person is considered on a higher level if he's able to make others chant the name of Krishna. That's Srila Prabhupada, I think once he mentioned in he was talking to some devotees and he mentioned, you can test yourself about your progress in devotional life by when you walk by if people chant Hare Krishna or no. I was hearing some devotees saying this. So how do we do that? How can we come up to that level that we are always in association of devotees? How can we make sure that we are on that level that when we walk by, people start thinking about Krishna? Srila Prabhupada once mentions, the devotees, they always have to be dressed as devotees. You have your tilak, you're dressed in your devotional clothing. When you do that, it's easy for anybody to be Krishna conscious. When you are wearing a devotional clothing, it's difficult to go out and do something wrong. Why? Because people start thinking, oh, you know, he is a Hare Krishna person, so I do not want Srila Prabhupada to be blamed. I don't want ISKCON to be blamed. So in that way, I can work on a way that is Krishna conscious. All these things is a supplement of being devotees. Second point I was able to withdraw from the purport was that Vamanadev, he punished. He says, Vamanadev asked Bali Maharaj to go to heavenly planets just to show the entire universe how tolerant he was. In the pastime of Lord Narasimhadev, Lord, he promised Prahlad Maharaj that he will not kill anybody coming down in his lineage. So Bali Maharaj was the grandson, the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. Very, very powerful. Went and attacked the demigods. Indra had to run away, became the king. Very powerful. He said, I'm not going to kill this person, because it's his promise to Prahlad Maharaj. So he says, because you are unable to give me what you have promised, you should go down to the hell, to the hellish planets and live over there. And Bali Maharaj, being such a great devotee, he says, okay. Just few verses before, we read, he was telling his soldiers not to fight. He was telling them, there is no point. You cannot fight Krishna. But they are demons, they are not going to listen. So he tried a different method. He said, there is no way possible that we can go against our destiny. Time, Krishna is in the form of time, he is the supreme. He works accordingly how everything needs to be done. Before we were able to defeat these demigods easily. But now, they are heavy on us. So don't do it. They didn't listen, they got killed. And those who survived ran down to the lower planetary system. And Bali Maharaj, he was very peacefully waiting. It's mentioned in the Puranas that Shukracharya actually mentioned, he told, he's not Brahmana. He's a cute looking boy. He's not just a Brahman. He's Lord Vishnu himself who has come to cheat you. And Bali Maharaj, he says, if he's just a simple Brahmana, I get the benefit of giving some dakshina to a simple Brahmana. And if he's Lord Vishnu himself, what a greater chance, you know, what person can get that opportunity who is able to give donation to Lord Vishnu, to who Lord Vishnu comes as a beggar. So that is also a good opportunity. So in either cases, it's a win-win situation. So I'm going to do it anyway. Of course, then, you know, Vamandev just takes away everything in two steps. There's a few verses ahead, Vamandev is telling Bali Maharaj, in one step, I took away all the land. In all the places where there is sunlight, there is moonlight, you can see the stars. In all those places around the universe where the clouds are pouring rain, everything belongs to you. But now, I have taken everything away with one step. And with my whole body, I have taken up the entire sky. With a second step, I took away everything in the upper planetary system. So you have nothing left. You have only one more step to go. You couldn't even give me 3 steps of land that you promised. Krishna is making, you know, he's joking with Bali Maharaj like that. And all the demigods, they are happy because now they are going to get back the kingdom. But the devotees, they understood that Lord Vamanadev, he was being merciful to Bali Maharaj and not to the demigods. Because the Bali Maharaj is getting the blessings of the Lord. It's mentioned, Prabhupada mentions in Srimad Bhagavatam that when Krishna becomes extremely pleased by some devotee, he becomes Hari. Hari means one who steals away everything. You are left with nothing. We see the example of the Pandavas. They were the emperor of the world. Maharaj Yudhishthira had everything. He had bigger than even his own father. Maharaj Pandu, who he conquered, you know, even Bharata Maharaj, he conquered the whole, you know, the whole earth system that we see today is considered as Bharata Varsha. It was a whole conquered the whole earth. But Arjuna, he went beyond, you know, he went throughout the whole Bhumandala and got tax from everybody to pay to Maharaj Yudhishthira. So Maharaj Yudhishthira was much bigger a king, much bigger emperor than even Harishchandra or Maharaj Lord Ramachandra. He got everything and he enjoyed it for a few years, and immediately he was thrown, you know, he was in a game of dice. He lost everything within a day. He had nothing left. What is he supposed to do? He was okay, that's it, you have to go out with nothing, not a penny in his hand. That's when Krishna becomes merciful. And how was that mercy shown? As soon as he left Hastinapur, 10,000 brahmanas, they just started going with Maharaj Yudhishthira. Mahabharata explains this. And Maharaj Yudhishthira said, sorry, please don't come with me. And their point is like, no, we are Brahmins, we are independent, we are not dependent on anybody. No rulers, we are not. We don't have to follow the rules of the king. We are independent. So we are coming with you. Says, how am I supposed to feed you? Don't worry about that. We will take care of ourselves. You don't have to maintain us. So he had association of 10,000 qualified Brahmins who were renounced enough to say, okay, here is a devotee who left because, you know, he has to leave his country because of certain reasons, unfortunate situations. They left everything of their belongings and they just went with him to associate with him. And Mahabharata mentions they used to study Shastra every day. And at one point Maharaj Yudhishthira said, no, I cannot do this. I have to maintain these brahmanas. It's my duty as a kshatriya to maintain these brahmins. What am I supposed to do? And he asked his guru, Dyamna. He was the family priest. And he said, worship the sun god. He worshipped the sun god. He was dedicated. He wanted to serve the Vaishnavas, the brahmanas. The sun god appeared and gave him the plate, the Akshaya Patra. Okay, here. You can feed as many people as you want, and the food will finish once Draupadi has finished eating. That was the first sign of mercy. Kunti Devi, she mentions when Krishna is going back from after the battle of Kurukshetra, he's going back to Dwaraka. Kunti Devi says, why are you going now? Please give all those distress again. Because when we were in difficulty, you were here with us throughout the whole time. Now there is no difficulty, you're going, you're leaving. So what's the point of this happy life, being the emperor of the world again, if we don't have you? There are so many situations like this, and so many pastimes in these ways that we see Krishna is always there for the devotees who is willing to give up everything. I'm sure the devotees sitting here, you all have in individual lives situations when there is nothing possible. There's no situation, you are completely helpless and you get helped out of nowhere. And you can see Krishna has taken care. I was listening to one devotee. He's running a big gaushala. You know, it's my father. He's running a big gaushala. He has about 130, 110 cows. And at one point he said, he was trying to organize some Lakshmi from here and there to maintain the cows, to feed the cows. He has food for 2 more days and that's it, no more. And all the people who are the donors or the supporters, they can't give. And there's still 15 more days to go. So how to feed? He has no idea. So he's praying to Krishna, Krishna, do something. I need some Lakshmi to bring food to serve the cows. And the next day my Guru Maharaj calls him and he says, oh, there is one devotee who just left his body. Can you please perform the final rites for this particular person? He's a very poor person. Can you help him? And my father says, yes, Guru Maharaj. He goes there. And the devotees used to live, that devotee was living in a slum house, slum area. Very, very poor. And at the end of the whole ceremony, some of the relatives of the devotees, they said, okay, so how much, what's your cost? How can I charge somebody who is dead, you know? You can just give whatever dakshina you want to give. So they gave him an envelope. He just took it, put it in his pocket, came back home. At home he opens it. He was in need of 25,000 rupees, and from that envelope, exactly 25,000 rupees came out. And he said, that it's like, this is always seen, Krishna takes care of his devotees perfectly. Every time. So, many times we get confused. What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? Where will it come from? This, I have to do this, I have to do that, this, that, this, that, this, that. And we unnecessarily worry a lot. Recently, Bhaktivedanta Purna Maharaj was telling, there are 3 things that a person can die from. One is disease. No, he can get he can get diseased from. And one is improper lifestyle, not regulated eating. And third is living in anxiety. These 3 things invite disease. Devotees are generally, not devotees, people in general are very, are too much in anxiety. What will happen? How will it happen? Why this happened to me? Always something or the other going on. They're always distressed. And recently I was talking with one devotee and he said that people have, you know, they are committing suicide for a long time. And now, it has reached 46% of the teenagers, they perform suicide. Because they are distressed, they are in anxiety about how their examinations will end up. Will they get a job or no? Will they get a good admission in a colleges and this and that. 46%. And what is the purpose behind that? And I have a friend, a school friend, and we studied together that person was very, very intelligent, very qualified in his education. So when we finished our high school, I got almost 50%. So that's a pass mark, you can pass with that. So I was happy. This person, he got 85 something percent. And he's like, no, this is not enough. I have worked harder. I should get more Lakshmi. I should get more percentage than this. So they sent the examination papers for recorrection. 10 years later, I met this person. And I was like, oh, so how are you doing this, that? And he says, oh, now I'm working in a laboratory. So what do you do? I'm working to make these chemicals for killing mosquitoes. And in India, there is a saying, if you're not doing anything, that means you're sitting there killing mosquitoes. So I said, what was the point of getting more than 85% and sending you for recorrection and this and that, if you just had to sit and kill mosquitoes? And I got some 50, you know, some, it was less than 50% I got. I'm sitting here, I'm a teacher in an international school. So how did that happen? It wasn't planned. It wasn't planned for me to come to Gurukul. It was just happened by my Guru Maharaj's mercy. He said, you're going here. So that comes through Krishna. So if we just remain relaxed, just let Krishna take control of our lives and see what comes, it comes, always ends up in the best scene, best way possible. The third point that I was able to see in the purport was, it's the same thing as association of the devotees and being not afraid of the situations Krishna puts in. And one interesting pastime I read was, there was one man, extremely sinful. He had not performed a single pious activity in his life. That is a difficult thing to do, because Krishna has made our daily routine in such so nicely that we will perform some variety of pious activity. For example, giving water to somebody, giving shade, giving an accommodation, giving some food, speaking some nice words. All these things are considered pious. You get some pious benefit for doing all these things. But this man had done not one pious activity. One day, Narada Muni just appeared to him and he said, when you die, you'll go to in front of Yamaraj. He will ask you, what pious activity have you done? You should tell him, I have seen a pure devotee in my life once. And Narada Muni disappeared. He left. Years went by. This gentleman dies. Goes to Yamaraj. And Yamaraj said, sir, your whole life is filled with sinful activities. Can you remember at least one pious activity that you have done? At least one, something. The man is thinking. And finally he remembers the words of Narada Muni. He said, yes, I have seen a pure devotee once in my life. He's like, what? He asked Chitragupta, can you please check his accounts? You know, he checks. Oh yeah, he saw Narada Muni once. He said, you saw Narada Muni? Okay. You go back to the earthly planet and perform some devotional service to Krishna. All his sinful activities, all the sufferings he had to go through was nullified, was like put on the side just because he was able to see Narada Muni once in his lifetime. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, it mentions, there is a verse, says, sadhu sanga, sarva shastra kahe. All the shastras are speaking about sadhu sanga. So, lava matra sadhu sanga sarva siddhi hai. Even a moment's association with a devotee, it can give you all the siddhis. Everything can be achieved. Now one day we were going through some books on astrology, and it says, what is a moment? What is the definition of a moment? He said, the time it takes for an eye to blink, that's a moment. See, if you have that much association with a pure devotee or with the devotees of the Lord, that's enough for one to come outside of his sinful activities and be eligible to get the blessings of Krishna. Very, very important. Unfortunately, many times we do not consider, you know, because we live here in Mayapur, everybody is devotees. Wherever we look, there are devotees. Everything we hear is about devotees. Can be good, can be bad. But everything we do is just devotees, devotees, devotees. I had a guest come to our house and looks around and he says, there are just devotees here? I said, yes. I said, okay, fine. And he keeps on looking out of the window and some more devotees pass by. He's like, they are also devotees? I said, yes. Okay, and after half an hour, somebody else was, they are also devotees? Yes, because in other places outside Mayapur, that's an unusual sight, to just only see devotees. And the glory of Sridham Mayapur is there are only Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We don't have a khichdi of everything else. We have only devotees who are following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you go to Vrindavan, you have everybody. You know, you can have everybody. It's risky. In Sridham Mayapur, we only have Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So it's so fortunate for anybody to be here and just have relationship only and only with devotees. Now, what kind of relationship we have with these devotees, it depends upon us. How much we want to cultivate ourselves in Krishna consciousness. We have so many wonderful devotees. Mayapur is always... we got at least one pure devotee in Mayapur every time. Among the brahmacharis I know, there are several brahmacharis, they are chanting 64 rounds a day. For them, that is normal. There are devotees, for them taking bath throughout the year in Ganga, before Mangala Arati or any time throughout the day, is normal. You just go, we used to have one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, he left his body a few years ago. Every day, doesn't matter, summer, winter, rain, flood, doesn't matter. He will go take bath in Ganga. Very nice devotee. So we have so much opportunity to do. How to say, Rupa Goswami was mentioning, Rupa Goswami mentions that there are five limbs of devotional service. Living in the holy dham, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the devotees, chanting the holy name, and associating with Vaishnavas. If you perform these five limbs of devotional service, you don't need to do anything else. All the other limbs are already been taken care of. And for us, this is like a daily schedule. If we live in Sridham Mayapur. So that's Dhamvas is taken care of. Chanting of 16 rounds a day. You do whatever in Sridham Mayapur is a direct devotional service, direct service to Sri Sri Radha Madhava, Panchatattva and Narsimhadev. So that's Diri worship. We come for Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's so simple, so easy. But at the same time, Shastra mentions the Dham or Tirtha, they have an interesting power. You can be you can be living in the holy dham, but at the same time, not living in here at all. There was one devotee a few years ago, he was an astrologer. He decided he wants to study Rig Veda. And whole day he would just spend time studying Rig Veda. No service, no nothing, nothing. No associating with anybody. So devotees, they started to tell him, come on, why you want to study Rig Veda? That's not even part of our sampradaya. This, that, this, that, this, that. And this particular devotee got really annoyed. And he said, I want to leave Mayapur because people are harassing. And he was an astrologer. He decided to come up with the best time to leave Mayapur. And surprisingly enough, that was the time he chose was just before Mangala Arati on the day of Gaur Purnima. Sad. So was he actually living in Sridham Mayapur? You can be taking bath in Ganga, but not be taking bath in Ganga at all. You can be just sporting yourself, and that could be, you know, it wouldn't make a difference if you were in Ganga or you were in some swimming pool or some, you know, some beach somewhere else. It wouldn't matter. So that makes no difference. The difference was, you know, there is one pastime. There was a cobbler in Maharashtra. You know, dealing, you know, leather shoes, washing, soaking, this, cutting, making shoes. Just a cobbler. But his name was Rohidas. Great devotee of Krishna. And one day he heard there was this Brahmin He was going. So it's like, dear Brahmana, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Kashi. Oh, so you're going to see Ganga over there? You're going to take bath in Ganga? Yes, I am. And he gives him some donation. He says, can you please give this donation to Mother Ganga? Sure, why not? So he takes this, whatever he gave, some coin or whatever it was. And he came and he said, okay, Ganga Devi, this is from Rohidas. And he put it inside the river. Immediately, a hand came out and Ganga Devi spoke to this Brahmana saying, take this. And she gave her own bangle. He says, give this in return to Rohidas. Now she's Ganga Devi. Her bangle worth a lot. It must have been made of gold and what not. Could be even above our imagination. So he takes this. Wow, this is beautiful. Now, Rohidas has no idea about that Ganga Devi gave me this bangle. Why would I give this bangle to Rohidas? I will take it and give it to the king. And in return, I will get a lot of money back. So he goes to the king. He says, my dear sir, the best thing in the kingdom should be offered to the king. Here, please, take this bangle. I would like to offer it to you. The king says, wow, beautiful, beautiful bangle. He goes and takes it to his queen. He says, I brought this bangle for you. Look how beautiful this is. The queen looks at it, has a disgust on the face. Why? What's wrong with this bangle? It's just one. What am I going to do with one bangle? I want one more, you know, to put it on both my hands. Where did you get this? He says, oh, I got this from this Brahmana. This Brahman must have one more bangle. Who makes just one bangle? He must have one more bangle. Get that bangle off him. I want a second one. King's called for the Brahmana. Give me one more bangle. You have one more. He says, my lord, I have no more. I have only one. He says, no. How can you have only one bangle? Either you give me the bangle or I will cut your head off. What is he going to do? He can't say, oh, I got it from Ganga Devi. Stop lying. Give me another bangle. He runs to the Rohidas. And he says, oh, he explains the whole story. And he's like, please help me out. He says, oh, that's not a problem. He prayed to Ganga Devi. And the cobblers, they generally have a pot of water where they use for cleaning the leather. And he says, my dear Ganga Devi, please give me one more bangle to save the life of this cobbler. And immediately in that particular pot, there was a second bangle. Then he went, took it to the king and he explained. He says, here is the second bangle, but let me tell you the whole entire story. And then he explains the glories of the cobbler to the king. And then, you know, of course, the story is, he was glorified as a great devotee of Krishna, and then, you know, many pastimes after that. So you can be taking bath in Ganga, but not be in Ganga. Or you can be somewhere total different place and still be taking bath with Ganga. So for us, it's easy. Just go take bath in Ganga, just be in the holy dham. But at the same time, it's very risky. We cannot be here. It all depends on how much we dedicate ourselves unto the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Madhava. And if we are able to do that, then our life is successful. In Mancharatra Pradeep, the book written in, you know, for ISKCON devotees who are performing deity worship, there is a quote given from Srila Prabhupada. He said, you have to serve Krishna. And if you are able to and if you serve Krishna nicely, he will smile upon you. And if you are able to make Krishna smile once, your life is successful. Therefore, every devotee should work in such a way to make Krishna smile at least once in our lifetime to make our life successful. Okay, so time comes to an end. Anybody has any questions or comments? Yes, Prabhu. Jenny, yes, Prabhu.
The example is given of living in Vaikuntha rather than in the material world, according to the consciousness. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur His Guru Maharaj forbade him, you never go to Calcutta. That is the realm of Kali, you never go to Calcutta. But later on, when after he took sannyas and he was ordered to go out and preach, and first place he went was Calcutta. So people were saying, Guru Maharaj, you had an order from your guru never to go to Calcutta, but now the first place you're going is Calcutta. And he said, yes, he said, because when I'm here, I'm only speaking about Mayapur. I only speak about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So actually, I don't live in Calcutta. I live in Mayapur always.
Jai.
Hare Krishna. Another thing, I think, I was there in Bombay one time. It was you were saying how 64% of the students committed suicide. 46% of the students committed suicide. I was in Bombay. It may have been the same instance. And Devamrita Maharaj was giving a lecture, and the press was there and everything like that. And he mentioned that 64% of students contemplate commit suicide. No, they didn't commit suicide, but they contemplated it.
Okay.
But then the next day we had the newspaper, and the newspaper had written in the article, and Devananda Swami said that 64% of the students commit suicide. I think
okay.
It was a little bit less.
Okay.
I don't know if it's the same instance. But
I don't know. I just heard somebody coming up and saying.
Just to... So the students don't get too scared.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu. Prabhu?
Hare Krishna. I was just thinking about Agyata Sukriti, and which means unknowingly performing something good, and then you get a pious credit. So how close is that to spiritual credit? I don't really understand so much. Agyata Sukriti is that there's pious credit, and then there's from devotional service.
Yes.
Spiritual credit. There's difference, right? Could you clarify a little bit?
Means what is the difference between the pious credit and spiritual credit?
Yeah, but in relation to Agyata Sukriti, like you have some relatives come to Mayapur. He's Dhambas. He's getting some spiritual benefit, or is it Agyata Sukriti? How does it work?
I think when it's in relation with Krishna, it is a spiritual benefit. But maybe Janani Asuru or Pankajani Prabhu can explain a bit more. From what I understand, they get Agyata Sukriti. But at the same time, if it's totally in relation with Krishna, then they get the spiritual benefit of that particular situation. Because there is one story. It's a funny story. It says there was one thief. He's going around stealing, but one night he couldn't find anything in the village. So he got tired and he came to the Shiva temple. And in Shiva temple, he's just sitting down there, nobody around. And Shiva temples are generally open, there are no doors to it. And he sees on top of Lord Shiva, there is this big golden kalasha. You know, the place where you put water and it just keeps on dripping. Huge, big golden kalasha. And he's thinking, wow, that's my luck over there. So he says, okay, I'm going to steal this. And he's looking around how to steal it, because it's quite high. He can't just grab it. How to steal? He's looking for some table, some place. Can't find anything. He says, well, just use the Shivalinga. And he goes and clams on Shivalinga to take the pot off. And immediately one dark, big, tall man holding a Trishul stands up. He's like, ask for any benediction you want. I'm ready to give it to you. He's like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to steal ever again. No, I'm so pleased with you. It's like, what did I do? You know, please, I'm very happy. Just ask for any benediction you want. And he's like, okay, first of all, tell me who you are and why you want to give me benediction. He says, I am Lord Shiva. Why you want to give me benediction? What did I do? I wanted to steal the golden pot from top. He says, generally people come and offer me bilwa leaves, they offer me flowers. You offered yourself on me. So then, you know, he's just a thief. He asks, oh, I would like to become a, you know, I would like to have, you know, gold and this and that. So he got that. If he could have asked for devotion, he didn't. You know, there is another story of an old lady. She collected a lot of sticks, I think Srila Prabhupada mentions this story. She collected a lot of sticks in the jungle. She's walking around just putting the stick together. And she managed to get a big bundle of sticks on her head. And she's walking by in the village. And at one point, something goes wrong and the bundle of stick falls down. And she starts crying, "Oh Krishna, please help me, you know, I'm suffering. I managed to get so many sticks, now everything fell down, I cannot carry it, this, that. And she was so sincere in her prayers that Krishna actually appeared to her. And he's like, "My dear old lady, what can I do to you?" He's like, "Oh Krishna, you are so kind that you appeared in this middle of the jungle, there is nobody around. Can you please help me put this bundle of stick back on my head?" And Krishna was like, "Yeah, sure, why not? Here." And then Krishna disappears. And then she goes by and he's like, "Stupid me. I could have asked for anything. But I asked for the burden of material existence to again fall on top of my head." So considering these pastimes, it would be like, you get in connection with Krishna. But because you're not Krishna conscious, I would say it's just Ajnata Sukriti. But maybe other Vaishnavas, they can say something. Did you ask Prabhu? You would like to add something? Prabhu? Can't see any difference. Okay. Okay. Yes, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
In connection to that question, what I understood from Jiva Dharma, mm-hmm. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about two types of Sukriti.
Mm.
One type of Sukriti makes you... it brings you up to the mode of goodness, but it doesn't take you out of this material world.
Mm.
And one type of security gives you the opportunity to engage in devotional service.
Mm.
So when one comes in contact with some aspects of Krishna consciousness, in a small way, it accumulates to the point where they develop enough Shraddha to engage in the nine stages, you know, Shraddha, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana, Kriya, like that. So there's two types of security. So like you were saying, that someone may... perform some pious activity, but I won't take them out until they get the association of the devotee or engage in some kind of devotional activity, even unknowingly. They won't get that opportunity to like that. So that's what I understood.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, you mentioned about you could be living in Mayapur or you could be taking bath in the Ganges, but still may not be taking bath. So, after having engaged in the activity, how do you know if you were in the right consciousness? What are the results that you're supposed to get out of them?
Means it's the differences of consciousness. You know, if you are Krishna conscious or if you are not Krishna conscious. So if you are Krishna conscious, the result will be the Lord is pleased. And that you can understand by discussing with devotees. You know, and but the devotees being pleased with you or no. That's how you understand if Krishna was pleased or no. If devotees are pleased, that means Krishna was pleased. And then, yeah? Okay, bro.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Actually, Bali Maharaj is the grandson of the Bhakta Prahlad, no? Prahlad,
yes.
Maharaj, no?
Yes.
So he is also having a good qualities like charity, as well as the stikan to his words. Because once he gave a word to the Lord Krishna that he will give three steps of the life. So he is having his own spiritual master.
Yes.
Shukracharya Maharaj.
Yes.
So in spite of Shukracharya is telling that not to keep up your word, you know, just the man who has come is the Lord, like that.
Yeah.
So he's quite against spiritual master, no? But one should not controversy against the spiritual master, no?
Yeah,
how
but
we can
Yeah, so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says, you should not look at the sadhus with your eyes. You should look at the sadhus with your ears. What he's talking, if he's talking something in relation with Krishna, he is, you can follow him. If he's not speaking something in relation with Krishna, you have to reject. And Shukracharya himself mentions while teaching to the asuras, he mentioned, he says, to save a family, one person can be sacrificed. To save a village, a family can be sacrificed. To save a state, a village can be sacrificed. To save a country, a state can be sacrificed. And the whole world should be sacrificed for spiritual upliftment. So, if you have Krishna at your doorstep, and your spiritual master is saying, do not entertain him, then he's not talking for your own, for your benefit, so you don't have to listen. So that's why Bali Maharaj didn't listen to him. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Okay, so we will, yes Prabhu. Prabhu, please say it in the mic.
Is that a correct example? Because to sacrifice somebody seems like a barbaric for spirituality.
Sorry?
Is that a correct example that you just mentioned? Can you give some, you know, specifications where it is mentioned? Because I don't find it correct, because sacrificing somebody for someone's spiritual benefit is, seems barbaric.
No. It's not to fight to get, you have to give up the whole world for your spiritual upliftment.
Is that what you said?
That's what Shukracharya tells. This is what in Mahabharata, there is a description where Shukracharya is teaching the demons. And while teaching to the demons, this is how to say, politics. This is how the kings would behave. If you want to save a person, you give up. You have to save a family. If there is a need to sacrifice a person, you sacrifice so you can protect the rest of the people. So to get a bigger gain, if you have to give up a smaller gain, you should do that. That's the principle. So if you want to go back to Godhead, you have to give up the material world.
That's Asuri.
Sorry?
Asuri politics.
That's not Asuric, that's general. If you want something big, and if there is a need to sacrifice something small for the bigger gain, that you would do that. For example, you can get a Radha Madhava Rajbhog Mahaplate. And for that, you have to give up eating in the house, because you cannot eat both the things. Then you can easily give up the eating in the house and have the Radha Madhava's Rajbhog Mahaplate.
It's completely unacceptable, I feel.
Means?
It's Asuri and barbaric, I feel.
Maybe we can discuss it later.
Thank you.
And on personal level. Okay, so we can end here. It's time. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.